Today is going to be brief. Why is that? Well, we had company show up unexpectedly on Friday. And, so we had to kind of entertain them, on the weekend. Okay. So what I'm going to do today is, I'm going to carry on a little bit with our hope, the hope of, the dispensation of the mystery. But, what I, said last time is, I was going to try to attempt to find out what a aorist participle was. Doesn't it sound great? An aorist participle. So pretty much that's what we're going to concentrate on for the next few minutes. And then, next time I'm going to have to come back to the study just because of the limited amount of time that I had, if you can forgive me for that, okay? So, of course we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we, thank you for all things you've provided for us, especially the blood of your Son and the awesome calling that we have, through the blood of your Son, through God the Holy Spirit being sealed to that. Being sealed to that inheritance, and we pray for all those that need a very serious touch from you in this world today, because there are certainly some people out there that, no joke, they really need a serious touch from you now and, in the near future. That's a for sure. So we pray that in cases all of us might trust in you in all things, and that we might praise you for the blessings that we have, and that we might understand that you're working in our lives no matter what, and we can trust you as your word says, and that we can count on you, and that you're doing all things for our benefit at all time, because you are our rock, you are our hiding place, and you are our high tower in this world. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. And so, thanks for forgiving me there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to, find out what a Greek aorist participle is. And so if, just sit back, you might, at the end of this, you might say, what in the world do we do that for? But, there's a reason for that. And, an aorist participle, if you get into the Greek language at any time, they're very important, and I'm going to at least try to point that out. Okay, so we've covered a lot of amount of scriptures in the studies that we've studied so far. Nothing else. I think I at least laid a decent foundation for us to look into into the various callings. That is the Millennial Kingdom, the New Jerusalem, and now we're speaking about information and blessings that are involved in the dispensation of the mystery. And, we are looking at, the five occurrences of en tois epuranios, meaning in the highest heavens, in the upon heavens, in the super heavenlies. Those phrases, help us to understand where in fact, our blessing is, which is again phenomenal. No words can describe that. I've said that many times. And so we've been looking at those occurrences. And that particular Greek phrase, en tois epuranios, it means the highest heaven, upon heavens, or super heavenlies, is found only five times in all scriptures and only in the book of Revelation. We discussed the overthrow, the katabale, or the katabale, however you want to pronounce that, with the accent there, and what that was. And why that's important, because God doesn't create everything wild and waste. He created everything perfectly, and that perfect creation fell. And so we looked into that and how the evil one had to do with that, the fall of Satan, and then the Lord actually recreated this planet and put a human being on him. We learned about what being at the right hand of God, as far as the Lord is being at the right hand of God, and why that is. Why not the left? Why does it say right? And we discussed that. we discussed principalities and powers and what these principalities can be. Principalities are spiritual authorities. And so, when it comes to the spiritual world, they have ranks. We don't understand too much about, the spiritual world, and I believe that that's kept from us because, our minds, I don't think, could handle, ultimately spiritually what's happening all around us. I think we would literally go insane if we saw demons, devils, and such working on us, working in the world, maybe, taking over people. Certainly, evil principalities and powers are associated with heads of countries. By the way, that can be proven out in the scriptures that a satanic principality and power can rule a country, and therefore, you know, dictates its laws and such, and all of that is combined with the world system, which eventually is going to produce the evil one. Claiming to be God himself. Now that's coming up in this world. And so, evil principalities have definitely a great work in that. They're holy principalities and they're fallen principalities. Last time we learned that a principality had to do with authority. It's an authority. In Romans 8, a principality, is a spiritual authority that tries to separate us from the love of God, which is impossible. That's what Romans 8, the last few verses of that chapter read. In Ephesians 20 and 21, we learn that Christ is our head, is seated in the highest heaven at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power. And so we're seated in Christ far above these authorities and rulers, whether they be wicked or not. In Christ, we are far above. Our calling, our destiny is far above anything created. And that, you know, that can be something that you have faith in. That can, you know, it's hard to, how could we ever understand what that truly is? But we have to have faith. And faith is a belief that doesn't have to see. We believe because it's true. The body of Christ is a witness to principalities, holy ones, as to the manifold wisdom of God, according to Ephesians 3:10. And actually, if it's translated correctly in Ephesians 6, that we battle against principalities, wicked principalities in this world, and not in entois epironiois, which is the highest heavens, and we'll eventually get that, maybe to that next time, which I've covered a lot in previous messages. That Ephesians 6:12 actually is not translated correctly because there are no wicked principalities and powers in the super heavens. They've been cast out already, and they exist in the firmament between the waters, I believe. Now we're going to get to endeavoring what an aorist participle is. And, you know, just bear with me. I'm going to throw out some things and, you know, just take them in. And if you know what, at least it's going to give you an idea of what an aorist participle is. Now, why would we be doing this? Well, if we look at Ephesians 1:3 in the Companion Bible, okay, this is what I was doing one day. Okay, so this is what, this is where this comes from, all right? So I'm looking at Ephesians 1:3, and then all of a sudden I look down in the notes, right? If you got a Companion Bible, you look down in the notes, and Welch says, note the use and importance of aorist participles throughout this section. All right, so do you know what he's talking about? Do I know what he's talking about? No. You know, but okay, so how are we supposed to notice these aorist participles and their importance in Ephesians 1? You know what I mean? That could be something that, we wouldn't even want to bother with, right? But, that's a note there. And for some odd reason, that struck my mind. And I said, hey, maybe I'm going to attempt to do that. Maybe I'm going to attempt to find out what he's talking about. All right. So in the next few brief minutes, I'm going to put forth what I found out about what an aorist participle is and what the aorist tense means, because there's different tenses in the Greek, in the Koine Greek. And the Koine Greek does not have a past tense, per se, like the English does. It doesn't have a past tense. A lot of times, the aorist tense is one that's used many, many times, speaking about a work that's completed in the past. And that's very important to our calling when we find out how we're blessed, risen with Christ, raised with Christ. That's in Ephesians 2, which again, I'm going to eventually get at. I have two more places to get to when talking about entois epuranios. We didn't cover Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, nor did we cover Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. But, those are the last two, references to in the super heavenlies or in the highest heavens that I have to get to. And I'm not going to be able to do that today, but let's get back to, what an aorist participle is. All right. So, again, just take this in. You might say, I didn't need to know that, et cetera, et cetera, but it might be interesting. Aorist participles, they have a dual nature, which means they can act as a verb and they can act as an adjective. They can modify a main verb in a verse. They can modify a noun in a verse. And they provide tremendous understanding of what is being said in the Koine Greek. Okay, so that sounds really great. So let's see. What is an example of a participle functioning as an adjective? All right, so, like I said, we're looking at aorist participles. What is a participle? We went over that. They can modify, they're like a verb form, but they can modify, or they can act as an adjective, they can act as a verb. And an example of a participle in the English functioning as an adjective is this. All right? We have the phrase, the hidden treasure. The hidden treasure. And actually, the word hidden is a participle. It's a participle that is modifying treasure, but it's functioning as an adjective. All right. So in the Greek, a participle does similar things. Okay. It does the same things as in the English, the hidden treasure. That's a participle acting as an adjective. A participle acting, as far as modifying a verb is like this. We are hiding the treasure. Our hiding is a participle. And it's modifying to hide. It's modifying what we're doing with the treasure verbally. And so, then, an example of a participle modifying a noun is this. The man who is sitting is the chief. The participle is who is sitting, and it's modifying what the chief is doing. Okay, so, you could say, well, blah, 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 that, you know, what does that all mean? Well, if you translate what I'm talking about into the scriptures, if you translate what I'm talking about, these participles doing the same thing in the Word of God as these, examples in the English, you're going to find that no doubt they're extremely important. Already we can say that they are. Instead of the treasure, we have the hidden treasure. Well, that speaks a lot over what the, what a basic treasure is. It's a hidden treasure, right? Okay, then if we're hiding the treasure, that's another participle. Well, then it's more than saying the treasure. We're hiding it. We're hiding the treasure. Okay, so how important are how important is that knowledge going to be when you translate it into the New Testament scriptures? You know what I'm saying? It's like the function of these participles in the Greek is as important as the function of what I read in the English. Does that make sense to you? It should make sense. Just take that in. And we have a treasure, and then we have a cheat. Treasure, treasure, cheat. Well, we have a hidden treasure, we have our hiding a treasure, and we have a man sitting who is chief. And so if you take those examples that I just spoke forth, and then you translate the idea of what these participles, how they function in the Koine, well, they're extremely, extremely important. If you can translate what I said about the English into the scriptures, all right, just, I know what I'm talking about. I hope it makes sense to you. Okay, so when, going back to what Welch said in Ephesians 1:3, note the use and importance of aorist participles. Well, okay, notice the use and importance. Okay, so what are we doing? There are 9 aorist participles in Ephesians 1. And so Welch is trying to point out how these are used and how important they are. Well, if you look at the knowledge of what they can do in scriptures, they're massively important. Massively, massively important. And they're massively important when we try to understand what they're doing in our calling, if that makes sense to you. Now, I am not an expert in the Greek, but in studying this over, there is no doubt that my little brain said, holy cow, yeah, these are massively important. And so that's why Welch said, note the importance and how many these aorist participles, how many there are in one chapter of Ephesians, which happens to do with our calling. All right, so they're massively important. There's 9 of them in one chapter alone. Participles are often the most significant elements in the expression of thought, and are key to the understanding of what the author is trying to say. And so, who is the author of Ephesians 1? Therefore, the reality is that they're key to the words that are being said. They are key. They provide important information as to the Apostle Paul putting forth our calling, and what's more, they're a key to understanding of what God the Holy Spirit is trying to say in the inspired scriptures. And so will we ever learn how to use aorist participles and what they are? Maybe not. If you don't, that's okay. You know, if you don't, will I? I'll try, but maybe not. You know, and that's okay. But I'm trying to point out, if you ever want to go down that road, there is a road in the Koine Greek that we said last time. Do you need the Koine Greek to know your calling? No. I learned my calling from the English King James scriptures. No doubt about it. No doubt. There's no doubt. But if we ever delve into the Koine, this is one aspect of what the Koine can do for us. The Koine Greek is known as a participle loving language, by the way. And so this is why do critical texts omit a lot of them? Well, why do critical texts omit a lot of them, Al? Well, then, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know where you get that from, by the way. Why do critical texts omit a lot of them? I don't accept that statement off the bat. So you would have to ask Welch that too. And so, you know, not to defend myself, but, Bullinger's note. Okay. Well, what about Welch's note? Notes. Okay. That's something that I'm going to leave up to you. I'm going to leave that debate up to you. But I think that you should, you know, to tell you the truth, to defend myself, or I think you should know more about what's going on here, Al. I'm going to say that to you, because somebody as knowledgeable as Bullinger, is saying that these are true. And so I'm going to carry on with that, even though that statement is being made. I think that you should look into what you're talking about as a defense to me. Participles convey facts as an action that happened. They provide crucial insights into the logical sequence of events within a text, especially in narrative literature. And the errors tense generally indicates a past action that is understood. A single completed action, often described as a snapshot action. Okay, so a snapshot action, which means that in the errors tense, if something's in the errors tense, it is something that has taken place, and usually it's taken place in the past. And you'll find that a lot of verbs that have to do with our calling, are in the aorist tense. So, an aorist participle is a powerful grammatical, they're used powerfully and grammatically in the Koine Greek. And, they're used in particular scriptures. And mastering their use is extremely important in understanding the Koine Greek text, actually. And so apparently I found nine of them in Ephesians 1. And so, you know, here again, Al, I think that to tell you the truth, I think that your comment is not a place, for this message. It's not. And so I'm just going to say that it really bothers me that you said such a thing. And so, there are nine, aorist participles in Ephesians 1, actually. And, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over, a few of them, by the way. In Ephesians 1:3, we have two of them, and both of them are modifying having blessed, what they're doing is they're modifying a verb in Ephesians 1, or actually Ephesians 4, ekla golmai, and what that is that has to do with God choosing. And the two participles that go along or modify God having chose, one is having blessed, and one is predestinating. Having blessed in verse 3, and predestinating in verse 5, are modifying having chosen. So when it states that God the Father, having chose us, chosen us in verse 4. The modifying participles have to do with having blessed and having predestinated us. And so having chose is the main verb, and these two participles go along with the understanding of what God did when he chose us. He blessed us, and he predestinated us, which are two participles that go along with what the Father chose. In Ephesians 1:13, there are two aorist participles that what they do is they modify the Greek verb having to do with being sealed. And I can read this, ephrates sante. And what that is having been sealed. And when we look at Ephesians 1:13, it states, in whom we trusted after that he heard the word of truth, the good message of your salvation, in whom after that he believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And so what these participles are doing is they're modifying being sealed. And after you heard, it makes sense, after you heard the truth and having believed the truth, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. That makes sense. And so the two participles, having heard and having believed, modify the main verb of that we were sealed, if that makes sense. And so when we were sealed, it's because we believed and we heard. The last one I'm looking at is in verse 1:15. And the participle is having heard. And what this does is this modifies the main verb, haomai, which the Apostle Paul is stating, I do not cease, or I am not stopping, giving thanks for. He's giving thanks because he, having heard, let's read verse 15. Wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints. And so what he's saying here is that he is not stopping giving thanks after he has heard, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. Okay, so after he has heard, he does not give, which is a participle, he does not give, cease to give thanks for having heard that. Okay, well, I'm going to end with that now, and I appreciate all of you being here. Thanks.